Hello, this is Paul Green, Chairman of the City Club of Chicago and WGN political analyst. Today we had Illinois State Treasurer Michael Frerichs at the luncheon. He gave a positive speech on Illinois. He kept saying, Illinois is a great state with a bright future, and tries in his own way to dissuade some of the negativity that is seemingly permeating our state. And he used as his metaphor the rise of the Chicago Cubs, and you have to go with slowly and surely. And the most important comment he made is that people have to get together and start compromising, because the dynamics of our state, if we keep without a budget, it's going to be absolutely dismal for the future of Illinois.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for the invitation to address the City Club, its members, and its visitors today. A lot has happened since I last spoke here about 1 year ago. And I'd like to discuss something that a lot of people are talking about these days. In January, there were a lot of people looking forward to February and March. The thinking was that in February and March, I would hold some promise. It would offer a clearer view of the field. February came and went, and it didn't offer us very much clarity. If anything, the rivalries seemed to grow a little stronger. The desire to win, more palpable. March saw an influx of money and predictions, and by the middle of the month, we were signing winners and losers, all the while continuing to play the expectations game. Today, as we look forward to April, the speculation, the hope, the fears continue unabated. Obviously, I'm here today to talk about baseball. The Cubs and Sox are wrapping up spring training, and opening day is on April the 4th. I personally am looking forward to this year. I know this topic may be surprising to some of you. You were probably expecting me to talk about basketball. It's okay, I get that a lot for some reason. Although I did play basketball, my first love was baseball. Baseball just didn't love me back. It was an unrequited love. I grew up with a baseball field next door to my home. It reminded me of Field of Dreams, surrounded on three sides by cornfields. Growing up, I played in Gifford, Illinois for the Pee Wee League, Farm League, and Little League. I played for my school through eighth grade. But it was clear to most people early that baseball was not my calling. I was not going to be a major leaguer. I was not going to hit home runs. I was not going to pitch a shutout. But that was okay, because I was good at some things. I was really good at getting hit by pitches. And then when I got on base, I was really good at stealing bases. But that's okay. That's sometimes what you do to win ball games. You get runners on. You find a way to get on base, you advance the runners. You put runs on the board, and they add up to a win. You help be a good teammate to help others around you succeed. Now, my baseball career was short and unimpressive, but nonetheless, I would like to talk about baseball today, because I think baseball has a lot in common with what's going on in Springfield. Both are wrapping up their early work. You know, spring training in baseball and the primaries in Springfield. And we're right now just getting into our full swing. And many are hoping, some even predicting, that the Cubs will be in the World Series in November. Yeah. Just about the same time that others are predicting the fiscal year 16 and 17 budgets will be getting passed. Now, personally, I hope the Cubs fans are correct, and I hope the Springfield pundits are wrong. Either way, we shall see. Now, it's nice to be back here at the City Club to see Paul Green, to hear his jokes. I want to thank the Senate President for joining me here today. I hope no one will think that these remarks are designed for him. I want to thank the members of my staff and the members of the banking community who joined me here today so that I would have someone to talk to. It has been about a year since I last addressed this group. And in that time, there has been no agreement on a budget. Ratings agencies have expressed their displeasure with the state of Illinois by credit downgrades. And service providers, many have closed their doors. I think those of you who were here yesterday heard some all too real stories. Now, we could point to any number of times in our state's history where we face fiscal problems. But I think most everyone here would agree that this year is different. Our politics have become too divisive. parts of our state government have ground to a halt. People are hurting. The game in Springfield has gone on too long, and it's time for it to end. Now, ours is a great state, but you wouldn't think that if you just listened to some politicians. As a Cubs fan, I am used to things being bad. I remember before Bill Buckner when a ball went through Leon Durham's legs. I remember when Greg Maddux left the Cubs for the Braves. I was there for games 6 and 7 in 2003. Now, I've been there for a lot of losses. I'd asked some people on my staff to help out with the speech. And I have some White Sox fans in my office. And they actually prepared a long, long list of examples of times the Cubs have experienced some down times. I personally don't see any benefit in dwelling on the past, in past mistakes. I, as a Cub, am an eternal optimist. And no matter how bad things get, I'm always going to root for my team. I am always going to believe that they're great. And that's why I don't understand when some politicians run down our state. Always talk about how we're last in this and we are worst in that. There's nothing lovable about losing. What we need to focus on is getting better, taking steps to improve, investing in and using the great resources of our state we already have to achieve more. Now, I am happy to say, despite what you heard yesterday, that I believe Illinois is a great state with a bright future. That is not to say we don't have challenges. Every team does. But in order to overcome our challenges, we need to invest in the future. We need to invest in young people across our state the same way a baseball team invests in its farm system. At the Treasurer's Office, we help people invest in their future. We manage 3 tax-advantaged college savings accounts, programs that help people who want to better their lives and the lives of their families. Saving for college and setting the expectation that your son or daughter is going to college, those are the fundamentals. Just having a college savings account makes your child 7 times more likely to attend college. It is a greater predictor of college attainment than race or net worth. Now, for too many people, college is not a given. There is not an expectation. And for too many people, it's not even a possibility because it has become too expensive. And despite that, we have homegrown talent here in our state. Young people across the state who worked hard and got into college. And we promised these people MAP grants to allow them to be able to go. But funding for MAP grants has been vetoed twice. We're not investing in our future anymore. And that's not right, and that's not how we build success. So, I talked to some people today, and they said, how are things going with you today? And I told them, they're great. A lot of people who read the newspapers don't believe me, assume I'm lying. You know, I tell them that as long as I focus on things I have some control over, life is great. Things I don't have control over, I have no control over. But what we do have control over in the Treasurer's Office are things like college savings. And we are working to make it less expensive and easier for families and individuals to save for college. Now, I've made it a priority to expand access to our college savings programs through improved marketing, lowering of fees, and having greater investment options. And so today, we now have over 400,000 college savings accounts in the state of Illinois. More than $8 billion in investments. But there is more to be done. Now, when I told our investment managers what I wanted to do, they told me that they couldn't lower fees. Direct quote, we can't do that. But they did. They did because we worked together and we didn't talk past each other. We had practical, honest, fair-minded conversations, and we came to an agreement that will help tens of thousands of families save for their kids' college education. Now, these small steps add up. Savers in our Bright Directions program have lower upfront costs and fees. They're able to invest in more stable, quality programs. And as a result of these changes, the rating agency Morningstar rewarded us with a credit upgrade. That's something we don't hear in Illinois all that much, but we were actually upgraded. Now, in my book, that's a win. Now, to be clear, there is more work left to do. But our success in reaching out and talking about where we'd like to go and agreeing on a path that will get us close shows what can be accomplished when we work together. Now, we did not always agree. But at the end of the day, we took a program, we worked together, we made it better, and no one felt cheated. I understand that the hill we climbed with college savings wasn't as steep as the hill with the budget. But we didn't yell past each other. We were not focused on doing things only our way. We did not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And we achieved success. I'll say again, Illinois is a great state with a bright future. Yes, we face challenges, but we also have solutions. We work as a team to help one another. Consider ABLE. ABLE is a program that we are building to help families and individuals with blindness or a disability. ABLE stands for Achieving a Better Life Experience. It's a program designed to help people save money in a tax-advantaged program, much like those college savings accounts, to pay for disability-related expenses. Now, this program will help people save money to pay to retrofit a house to be wheelchair accessible, to pay for a person's rehabilitation, and reduce their need for public assistance. Now, even though this is a great program and a great idea, we quickly discovered there are some unique challenges. As you can imagine, the sheer number of people who would benefit from ABLE is relatively small. So finding an investment company willing to take on the program would be tough. The economy of scale is simply too small to attract the kind of fees we would like families to pay. It would be cost prohibitive for the very families and individuals who desperately need help. So, we started talking. What would it take to make this work? We realized that we could not go it alone. As nice as it is to have a superstar or two, what you really need is depth to make something like this work. We reached out to states across the Midwest, states across the country. Some states will not surprise you. Reached out to Iowa, to Minnesota. A couple you might find interesting, working with Nevada and Pennsylvania. But then we also have Alaska, Missouri, and Kansas. That Kansas that John Culleton likes to point out is not very much like Illinois. Yes, and Kansas has been great to work with. Because when we communicate, when we figure out where we need to go and what path it will take to get us there, we can accomplish great things. Now, we are getting close to our next announcement for ABLE. By pooling investments and costs with other states, I believe that we'll be able to provide the type of program that these families and individuals deserve. This seemingly disparate team of states is working together for a win. I think it bears repeating again. Illinois is a great state with a bright future. That's true. There are challenges, and the sheer diversity of our state reminds us that not all solutions look the same. No one has the one solution to our problems. But we do know that we can't just sit back. There has to be a first step to addressing our problems. There has to be someone willing to step up to the plate and lead off, to take a swing at a problem that no one else has. And that, I think, is a great way to explain Secure Choice. Secure Choice is a program that creates retirement saving options for people across Illinois. Any business older than 2 years, with 25 or more employees, that chooses currently not to offer a retirement plan for their workers, will provide Secure Choice as a retirement savings option to their employees. Workers will invest 3% of their wages into a Roth IRA. They can choose to increase that amount or lower that amount. They can choose to opt out of the program. But we are working with businesses, advocacy groups, and other key stakeholders to ensure that we're building a program that's effective. We're working together to build a program that helps everyone, including the people here in this room. Now, we need this program to succeed because there is a crisis, retirement crisis, in America today. We simply are not saving enough. I want everyone to think about this for a moment. Now, how much are you saving? How about your siblings? The fact is today, despite your answer, the median retirement account balance for all working age households, according to the National Institute of Retirement Savings, is $3,000. $3,000. Now, don't worry. As members of those same households near retirement age, the average nest egg grows to $12,000. As people are near retirement age. This is the median amount. We have a retirement crisis in this country. We cannot ignore it, and we can't wait to have someone else offer a solution. The next step to address our retirement crisis, to address the retirement crisis that we all face, is going to be a simple one. Now, Secure Choice is not a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. This does not solve all the problems and have a win, but it is a simple step. It's a base hit at the beginning of the game to help people begin investing in themselves. We need base runners. We need base runners, and we need to move them from base to base. Because make no mistake, this retirement crisis will touch every person in this room. It will grab every person in this room. You might be well on your way to what you've deemed you and your family need, but the vast majority of people in our state and in our country are not. And we will all pay the price if we do not step up to the plate. Now, I've said it a few times, but once again, it bears worth repeating. Illinois is a great state with a bright future. It is. That's why I choose to stay here. We have our challenges. All states do. But we don't shrink from our challenges. We look for solutions. We look at what was attempted in the past, evaluate what worked, and develop next steps. So a year ago, when we came into office, we identified our strengths and our weaknesses. We looked at potential opportunities, and we set short-term and long-term goals. And I instructed my staff to ensure that we prioritize diversity, not only amongst our staff, but with the financial institutions with which we do business. One of Illinois' greatest strengths is our diversity. More people, more ideas, more backgrounds, it all leads to better decision-making. So we made a concerted effort to scout and recruit what are often called MWVDs, minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, veterans, individuals with disabilities. In the last year I've been in office, we increased our minority, women, veteran, disabled-owned businesses by 1,000%. Those people were out there, hungry for a chance to get into the game. But unfortunately, some of these groups were never invited to play. So that's what we did. We invited more diversity. We created an RFP scoring process that requires investment firms and financial institutions who seek to do business with our office provide information on their commitment to diversity. This has allowed us to tap new ideas and new strategies. And it's also shown others that they are welcome, as long as they perform. So, the results? In fiscal year 14, our $25 billion investment portfolio averaged about $50 million each month on MWVD firms. Today, that average is $1.4 billion, with a B. As in boy, or as in Bryant, Chris Bryant. We still have a ways to go. But at least now these firms know that there's a team that welcomes them. We live in a great state with a lot of promise. One of the reasons we live in a great state is because we look out for each other. When we see someone who needs help, we stop and offer it. When someone has something that's missing, we try to find the rightful owner. And that is the essence of the unclaimed property division managed by the treasurer's office. Today we have more than 1 million items with a value greater than $2 billion. $2 billion with a B, as in Bartman. $2 billion. Now, this includes unpaid life insurance policies. Now, previous managers of this office didn't put a priority on these life insurance policies. That's fine. Joe Madden manages differently than Robin Ventura or Mike Matheny. I think some might say that John Culleton manages differently than Michael Madigan. Some might say that. But it's a priority for me. And not all life insurance companies are happy about that. So there are some companies that choose not to pay out life insurance policies, even when they have reason to believe that the policyholder has passed away. Let me repeat that. Let me say that again. There are life insurance companies right here in this city that refuse to pay out life insurance benefits even when they know the policyholder has passed away. Their explanation? No one submitted a claim. Or they submitted it incorrectly. Now, that is outrageous, it is indefensible, and it is flat out wrong. We suggested a voluntary audit. Their response was to sue me in court. Yeah. Now, this was not an unusual request. Today, more than 20 life insurance companies, representing the vast majority of policies sold in this state, already allow us to look at their books. But not these companies. They choose to play by a different set of rules. Now, we are talking big league numbers here. Recently, more than $500 million in life insurance proceeds were identified and paid to the deceased's heirs. Their wishes were finally granted. Now, why would a handful of insurance companies, while we're trying to find a workable solution, walk away from the negotiating table and file a lawsuit? Well, these companies have told federal regulators that these unpaid insurance benefits are baked into their bottom line. They are holding on to unpaid life insurance benefits because doing so is a critical component of their profits. These plans are needed to make money for their investors. Now, but what about that money that your mom or your dad or your grandpa or your grandma set aside for you for a little help when you might need it the most? These insurance companies would like to keep it. That's not right, and everyone can see that for what it is. Even a one-eyed umpire with glasses can see that. You know, I talk about baseball today because baseball can teach us valuable lessons. To play hard, but to play by the rules. How to challenge each other while still working together. When it's right to sacrifice yourself for the good of the team, and when you should take informed risk to stretch a double into a triple. We try to follow these rules in the treasurer's office as we help people help themselves. Because people helping themselves make all of our lives better. And that's why our state is so great and has so much potential. We have challenges, but we also have the capacity to work together on solutions. College savings, ABLE, secure choice, consumer protection. We fight for each other because this state, our team, is worth fighting for. I believe in Illinois. I believe we have a bright future, but we must work together. Thank you again for your time, your attention, your willingness to hear some of my ideas. Thanks for the chance to talk a little baseball. Go Cubs.
Good job. Good job. If you have questions, pretty quick. So did the Davids. Yeah, what was the Spivak's first name? Meet the, based in it. Meet the Press. Alan Spivak. Lawrence Spivak. I'm too young to remember. Okay, here we go. Dave Lundy, what are the long-term financial repercussions from the growing pile of unpaid bills? Knock that one out of the park.
I told you, I look forward to this guy's jokes here. He's a bunch of one-liners. I wish there were a one-line answer for this. I can tell you what it's done for our office. The lack of having a budget and these bills piling up. We try to invest to get a good return for the state. For every dollar we spend, we bring in about $29 to the state of Illinois. We do that through a variety of ways. We make investments as long as 5 years and as little as overnight. Now, we take this part of our job very seriously. I didn't talk about it too much in my speech. We take it very seriously because the more money we bring in through our investments and through our work, the less money the General Assembly has to raise in taxes or the less money they have to make in cuts to important services like higher education. However, when there's all this uncertainty and we don't know what the solution is going to be, we don't know if there are going to be fund sweeps in a month or two, we can't be investing for the long term. And we can't invest for the long term, we get lower interest rates, less money comes in. It becomes a vicious cycle that ultimately is going to put the state in a tougher place. And so I think it is very important that we address this problem and turn it into a virtuous cycle going forward. If we have more certainty, we have more revenue, we can create more revenue as well.
Again, if you have a question, we have our three folks that are ready to take it out of your hands. Charlie Gardner happens to be a Roosevelt University trustee. No reason why I'm reading his second here. Purely coincidental on that. Any progress on combining the Office of Comptroller and Treasurer?
Sure. So the offices cannot be combined by act of the General Assembly. It requires a constitutional amendment. And they can't be combined midterm, so this would have to happen in 2018. Generally, the General Assembly doesn't take up constitutional questions in the first year of a session. They'll wait until the second year. So this year, when they come back together in Springfield, they'll talk about this and several other constitutional amendments put forward. The governor has some suggestions as part of his turnaround agenda. The General Assembly will discuss that. But this has been a discussion that's been going on for at least 20 years. Nothing has changed. So we came in and said, well, we continue doing the same things, saying the same things that have been said, and see no differences, or we can try and do things differently. And so one of the things we're trying to do is to reach out to some outside groups to get them to come in and look at the two offices. Have experts come in and tell us how we can better manage these offices. Have them give us a projection of how much money could be saved. Because when a politician goes forward and says, trust me, I'll save you a lot of money, not everyone believes that. So I think that if we invite some of these outside experts in and can provide a blueprint that ensures we continue to maintain internal controls going forward and save the state money, hopefully the logjam can be broken.
Zach, how do you pronounce your last name? Kowski? Here we go. You just announced a $220 million Illinois Growth and Investment Fund to invest in tech startups in Illinois. What do you see as worth investing in Illinois that the governor seemingly can't? He continues to denigrate Illinois as a state worth investing in until his agenda is passed. Why do you disagree? This fellow isn't one of your employees, is he?
Matter of fact, he is a former employee. I did not ask him to write that.
You don't get this job by luck.
Well, we did. So I talked about a few different programs we do to help people invest in themselves. But the Illinois Growth and Innovation Fund is one other example of the way we're investing in Illinois. I am bullish on this state. We have great resources. We have great talent. If we have greater access to capital for some of our entrepreneurs here in this city and throughout the state, we think we can help grow businesses. So the General Assembly, over a decade ago, gave the Treasurer the authority to invest up to 1% of total state assets in Illinois-based venture capital and other funds, with the idea that they are more likely to invest in Illinois startup companies. So we can get a return on our investment. And we've gotten a return. We've made money off this. These are not grants we're giving away. These are investments that pay the state of Illinois money. At the same time, when they help to grow companies in the state of Illinois, good companies that pay good wages and they grow, we have more taxpayers out there. It brings in more revenue. So several years ago, the General Assembly agreed this was a good idea, and they allowed us to invest an additional 2% of our state funds into technology development accounts. And we've chosen to call this an Illinois Growth and Innovation Fund because we believe that by putting money into the Illinois economy, trusting Illinois partners, like 50 South Capital, some relation to Northern Trust, no plug in relation to the board. When we work with Illinois and we help grow companies in Illinois that pay good wages, that is going to help everyone out there. And we think that's an investment worth making. As I said, we focus on what we can do and what our strengths are, and investing in those, rather than talking past each other, shouting at people, and denigrating others.
If there's any other question, this will be the last one. Anne of Villarreal, close, Boy Scouts of America. Anna, you have a following. Are there plans? Oh, not until I read this question, though. Are there plans to alleviate Chicago Public Schools' budget? If so, can you share? Around $450 million, I think, would be what you should share.
Are there plans to alleviate the Chicago Public Schools' budget? I'm sure someone has plans. It's not something we focus on in the treasurer's office. But, you know, we think this is another one of those issues that people have to tackle. And some people are swinging for the fences, try and take care of the problems all at once. We think it's probably going to take discipline. It's going to take steps. It's going to take small wins before you start to see a larger win. I think we generally have a crowd here. Oh, so she said there's a walkout scheduled for Friday. I think generally the crowd of the City Club reads the paper, and they're probably aware of that. And the state faces lots of challenges. I think I said I have great hope for the future. I believe in this state, but we need to acknowledge those challenges, and we can't just wait and sit back and hope that someone else solves them. That being said, the Treasurer's Office doesn't have an official role in Chicago Public Schools. But I do think that when we invest in our young people, you know, yes, we invest in our young people, it does not solve our budget problem this year. But it's like investing in that farm system. Some of my people, my staff, told me not to talk so much about the Cubs, but I grew up a Cubs fan, so I'm going to. You know, when new ownership brought in new management with the Cubs, there was great promise, great hope. Hey, we have a new general manager. And he came in, and he didn't go out and spend a lot of money on all those superstars. Started investing in a farm system and making trades and deals that would put young people with talent into the organization. And so the Cubs in Theo's first year didn't win. Second year, they didn't win very much. But they worked a plan that eventually got to the point where they are now contenders. And people are predicting them to win. And so I think the same thing with the state's problems. We're not going to solve them overnight. There is not a magic bullet bill out there that's going to take care of our problems. But we need to start putting runners on base and advancing them. That's the only way you win.
How about a round of applause?